mir so gewollt ist zu uns. Wie geht das? Die öffentliche Episode, also die Schule-Call,
nach ihr steht es.
Die Stadt ist zu tell die Story in der Jensche, die Hall, Sidra, Nikkei, is devoted to Bechirat Yosef, and also the Yigash, with some exception, is the total
most concerned with Bechirat Yosef. The way Chazal, our sages, is Bechirat Yosef the beginning of Jewish history. And I want to explain. When you say the beginning of Jewish history, someone in the audience may challenge me. And then will ask me what? So you, anyone here can, huh? Avraham. The pioneer of Jewish history, the first Jewish historical figure is Avraham, not, and he's Christian's bridge with the Almighty, not the Mechiras Yosef, the sale of Yosef as a slave. True. But Avraham, when I say the beginning of Jewish history, is Mechiras Yosef, or rather in his verse, Mechiras Yosef is the beginning of Jewish history, and the history of a people, history of a group, of an entity, of a collective entity. Call it a people, a family, a clan, doesn't matter, the name doesn't matter. There is no history of an individual. As an individual, Jewish history or the Jewish great historical experience, the experience of the people, I mean, which committed itself, I mean, not to the future, but to eternity, this began with Joseph. But Joseph had already as a family, was Bensiaki. Vilish meiz bnei Yisrael avoyim et zreimo. Beis Yaakov, ishu beis libo. Why does it have to emphasize ishu beis libo? Understand, we understand very well. If the Shvatim, I mean, emigrated from Eretz Yisrael, into Mitzrayim, so did their family from me. But the Torah emphasizes ishu beis libo, but from now on, from the day on which they stepped over the boundary of he divided Egypt from Eretz Israel, the history of the Jew began on that day. Interesting is a certain medrash. The medrash asks, why the Medrash gives a list of names who could have intervened and defended Yosef and brought him back, and he could have brought Yosef back to the father, but they were busy. It's a very strange matter. They were busy. Reuben, the Medrash says, was busy because he was concerned with Tshuva, because Reuben realized that his mistake he made so many years ago around in Shem or many years Israel is now actually responsible for the great catastrophe which of a house split against itself is responsible for this great catastrophe. Hadn't Reuven committed the act of disrespect, of show disrespect and protest against the father, Mechiras Yosef wouldn't have taken place. The whole story that the house was split started with Reuven. Vayelech Reuven v'yishkev es bilhah peleg ha'aretz. Started with Reuven. Hadn't Reuven started, I mean, the rebellion. Unconsciously, Reuven didn't want, I mean, to somehow tell the Shvatim to be critical of Yaakov. But all right, but he did it. And this actually was, is responsible, the Vayevach Ruv, Vayishka, for a year, for the great tragedy which actually divided, almost destroyed Yaakov Ivanov, the covenant and all promises, is Ruv responsible. And that's why Ruv was busy. He was engaged in penitential, actions, or psychiatric medicine. And then the mother has a few cases, and then says, Vakodish Baruch Hu. What's about the Almighty? So the mother gives a straight answer. Hosukoyo Be'erish HaMashiach. The Almighty was concerned and was busy preparing the light of Mashiach, which means in living and creating the image of the Melech HaMashiach. What does it mean? What does it mean? It means Melech HaMashiach, Melech HaMashiach, which, excuse me. So Melech HaMashiach, or the idea of Geula, and all the ideas, to which the Knesset Yisrael has committed itself later, were born on the day on which Yosef was sold to the Bedouins as a slave. It means Jewish history began on that day. And the Midrash means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see, when you say with regard to Ruvu, you see also Koyo Betanisu, Betzemei was busy with fasting and praying and penitential practices. So it's a good answer. Ruvu was busy. But what is when they ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Almighty was, with what was he busy, concerned, that he did not intervene? Why didn't the Almighty intervene? This is the question the Midrash asked. So what's the answer? What's the answer? He was busy, Almighty busy. Apostle Adam, you can say he was busy, who was busy? So he couldn't intervene, he tried to intervene, but then he ran off to this Midrash to say, Slichas now. You cannot save Yitzchak on the one hand whilst reciting Slichas. But with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does it mean? It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochol had to do it, because otherwise it wouldn't have been a Jewish history. The idea of the specific, unique mode of existence, which is the characterization of the Afar Tchile, and Mavro B'Kishreya B'Nei L'Chisha B'Yisrael Amin, this image of the Melech HaMashiach could only be born of the event which took place on that day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had sympathy, of course, with the Beis Yaakov, which was about to be split and find itself at war with each other, but he couldn't help it, Kaviyakov. If the Jews or the Jacob and Yosef and the tribes should become a people, Am HaNivchor, so Yosef had to be sold in slavery. There is Osuk means, not Osuk, he had not time to supervise the events or to intervene. He could have intervened, but then he Jewish history would have been destroyed. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and since HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kaviyochol determined to have the Jewish history should actually become a reality, so he had to do something which was very unpleasant. What was this something? To allow Mechir Yosef And that's why he intervened. He didn't intervene because intervention would have meant the complete annulment of all the Christian beliefs with Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. There wouldn't have been a Jewish historical experience, what we call Atubah HaTam, the experience of its community, which was chosen by the Almighty in order to carry out, to implement the purpose of creation. Now, in general, even when you read the story of Mechiras Yosef, many problems come up in our mind. Very strange problems. The whole story is sometimes so mysterious, bordering on the paradoxical, that we don't understand exactly what happens. Well, why had the Mechiras Yosef been actually so strange and completely, and completely, almost, I say, illogical. And interesting is, let us just survey a few events, the way they are recorded in the parsha. Vayishlochei yom eimek chevren. Vayim tzuyish min yutei basode. Vayim alei, mi ato mebakesh? Vayim alei, ach hayon eichem mebakesh. Vayim alei yoyish, שמעתי אמרים נלכות לסוימה. וילך אחריכם לדייסון, וימצם שם, וימצם בדייסון. Usually, whoever is knows the style of the Torah, the biblical method of recording and reporting events, knows that Tanakh never pays attention to secondary rate events which happen, must have had, which even though they are necessary, it is necessary to know about them, that the event couldn't have taken place without those events or occurrences. So the Torah does not care as far as reporting about those events are concerned. For instance, actually, if we were just, interested only in the main event, it should have been Vayishlochei yom eimek chevren, Vayilach de Soino, Vayimtzim Shem. What made him go instead of Shem to Deison is completely irrelevant, and the Tanakh would have never recorded such a thing. What was important about the whole trip, Yosef's journey? That Yosef actually important is that the result of the journey was Mechiras Yosef. So what difference was the Ish? He got lost, and the Ish, I mean, told him that he overheard that they decided to move on from Shechem to Dayson, and because the Ish told it to him, Yosef went. Who is concerned with the Ish? In general, the Ish in Tanakh is a very strange word. It is sometimes it has multiple meanings, very strange. And what is important is the fact that in Mechiras Yosef, the word Ish keeps on repeating. Vayim tzo Ish, vayim asmat evakesh, esachat nech mevakesh, vayim alei o Ish. There was no need to write Vayim Alei Yish. Vayim Alei is Nosumika. Shemaite Emurim Lenecho Dostano. Then Yevish in... How do you say? Vayim Arish Alochim is not this. Vayim Arish Alochim is not this. When I say Vayim Arish, is this alone. as a lonely noun, as a noun, but not for him, it means we say to each other. There is, for instance, Matmein, Nassan, Dr. Kia Besechem, when they told him the story with the money, that he found the money in their bed. He said, it's a treasure with that punishment, but the Almighty gave you, Yish. Then, when the Shvatim reported Jacob about the event and the experiences they lived through, I mean, during their journey to Mitzrayim, by Dabir Oleinu, Yish, Adene, Yoret. Cautious. And then Jacob himself said, "Mikil Shaddai, Mikil Lachem Rachamim, Beine Yerish." What is Ish? What does it mean? What Ish means in Hebrew is not just an individual. No, not at all. It is Ish, many times when Ish means an individual actually who had no business to get involved in that. There is, Ish means stranger, a stranger, not so much an individual, a stranger. One who actually was outside of the historical frame of reference, which the Torah wanted, I mean, frame of reference for the event. He's out, not an outsider. An outsider. And particularly mysterious, and it's even hard to understand what his interest lies at. Hard to understand and an outsider. The one who doesn't belong to the whole drama. It's outside of that frame of reference. The question, Vayimtzoeyu ha'ish teyeh basodeh, and this ish, the ish, is not, he was not involved. He's a very strange person. Yaakov, that's why in Vayeshev, in Miketz, the word Ish is used quite frequently because it is the story of the most ununderstandable, enigmatic events which somehow brought about the event in Chias Yeshev. People, we don't understand why there is. So Rashi says, "Ish zeh Gabriel Amalach." It means, but not a human being. Because if he had been a human being, a plain, somebody, if he were just somebody, he wouldn't have asked Yosef, what is he searching for? What's his business? Yosef said, "It's not your business." But what he was searching for, that he would not eagerly, you have the impression that the Ish eagerly asked, wanted Jesus to interrogate him more and more. And he wanted to tell Jesus where his brothers were. As if the Ish had an interest in the event which will take place, which was supposed to take place, this was tremendous. The Rish wanted to inform Yosef correctly, to the precisely where they are. Vayelech, vayimtzoyem bedois bedosam, is the impression I have from the word, or what is, or between the words, means that the Rish told him how to get the doisam, how to get. They gave him a map of the at that geographic place called Dulcen. And he told him, he gave him specific instructions how to journey to Dulcen and how to find them. As he was eager that Jesus meet his brothers, but not for a good purpose. Not he should reconciliation, but for purpose of complete alienation. The rich was eager. And the same when the Shvatim tell Yaakov, and they tell him, Dibra leinu ish, Dibra leinu ish, what is the next word? Adeno oret, itonu koshesh. What did they emphasize? Koshesh here is not so much means in the sense of entry or hard work, but it's more deeper than English. Koshesh means this mysterious man, this paradoxical, what happened. I mean, after all, why is he even says? What follows with this? It is strange, I mean. We don't understand what motivates a stranger, I mean, to make such accusations, I mean, against us. But the fact he did it. We don't understand it. Yeah, no one could understand. Father, you want to know why, what it is? We don't know. You know, but I would give you facts. But he said that you cannot get any food unless the Binyamin will come and join them. And Yaakov, Chazal said, he stalked with Shechina. He had no inspiration, no Shechina, no clairvoyance. So Yaakov also says, Vakil Shaddai Yitin Lachem, Rachmin, Be'ini Ish. Who is he? I don't know myself. Who is this Ish? Who is Mitzrayim? And interesting, if the Tanakh combines the term Ish and Neorot Mitzrayim, which the term of Ish, perhaps it's the same person. It is the same person. Who knows? Or perhaps there are two different personas. In Egypt, there is Gaish, whom we don't understand. And Shem, the Yeshiv traveled to find his brother, for a journey, to find what it was a different Ish. But there's a common denominator in both, I would say, Ishim, or Anoshim, when I say Anoshim. There's a common denominator in the Ish of Dason and the Ish in Mitzrayim, who is the boss of the land, who owns the land, What is the common denominator? The common denominator is that we were amazed to discover the identity. But deeper only know Ish had the Oretz, but what does it matter? Whether the Ish is right or wrong, whether the Ish is malicious, or is sympathetic, whether the Rish is actual, wants help to help us or wants to destroy us, we don't know. But Adni Oret is the master of the land. So what can you do? What can you do? You have to comply with him. He gave us a warning. No compliance, no food. That's what he told him. Dibber aleinu ish Adni Oret. These are the Satan or Malach. But we don't know what he is. And so I don't believe we have much choice to disagree with the Ish, because the Ish is at New York. Then the second time. If he is Anoshim Abois, what do you mean Anoshim here? Who is the Anoshim? What is Anoshim? He says, it means the people there. No. mit mehr Jesus, der war noch immer zu den Strangers. I mean, Jesus. Wo wäre es an Oshim Aboisho, der Zahre ist er?
Ja.
Und ich war ich war He said, what they call his brothers, stranger. Who they are, I don't know. Apparently the Rasher of the boys ask Jesus, who are those people? Somebody, Jesus, the viceroy or the prime minister of Egypt. At times the most powerful, most... a powerful empire in the Middle East. They said suddenly Yosef gives an exception in their honor. Why Kiiti Yehu Anoshim Batroy? Because I don't know who they are. Perhaps they represent somebody very powerful. I want to be in good terms with them. Yehu Yiti Yehu Anoshim. There was no other reason that Jesus could have motivated Jesus to give a reception or a reception in their honor, going with one motif. What is the one motif? Namely, I don't know who they are. And perhaps, I mean, they are very powerful. Who knows what they are? So anyway, let us receive them cordially and feast them, because you know, it's a very strange motivation. Because not because I know him, he's a great scholar and a great benefactor and a great ethical personality, no, just the opposite. Because I don't know who he is, I don't know what kind of scholarship he possesses, I don't know anything about them, and I don't know their identity, and they're not ready to reveal their identity. Therefore, let us receive them receive them nicely and treat them like people who deserve the reception. And then, as I said before, what motivated Yosef to act the way he did act, and what motivated the Shvatim to act in a way which they considered the best. So what was the main motivation? Main motivation was Oish, or Anoshim. We don't know who they are, and that's why you should act like, in order not to intervene or interfere with certain designs. And he didn't know what kind of designs and who is the one who planned it, all that. You know, not in order to be with good relations with people whom we don't know, you don't understand. And we have doubt whether they'll be understood, those people be understood in the future. This is what is more, and that's why the motivation was that from the Yish. There's a feeling of strangeness, there's a feeling of strangeness and complete lack of understanding. Basically, is that the Mechiras Yeshiv was an illogical act. That's what the Torah emphasizes. Logically, it could have never come. It could have never become a reality. What is the most enigmatic aspect of this story of Moshe HaSeshes is that it is second confrontation between Yehuda and Yosef. But let us analyze the whole story. 10 people come to Yosef and they ask for bread, for food. They want to buy, and they had a lot of money for them. He said, we will pay you whatever you ask for the food, but we want food. Yosef says, no, you don't want food. Food is just a disguise for you. You want what you want. This is a professional spy, and these are 10 people. And the sons of one individual, Nei Shechad Anochnu, why do they have to say? 10 people are at a Malm or at a Reza Kresh. 10 people, the sons of one person. Nei Shechad, is, of course, you understand very well that such spies from one family were not just small fry, so to say. I mean, they did some intelligence work, but they actually, 10 people, the sons of one family, members of one family, if they are all spies, apparently they were very, very successful. That means real spies. It means actually they are the head of the intelligence service of some enemy country. That's what Yosef accused them of. That's what you could derive from Yosef. Right. And he told them, no, and they say, it's not true. So Yosef puts up a condition that he can only prove, that they are sincere, if they'll bring the money. This is a good method, a good detective work. So they send them to Mitzvah, arresting one of them, Shimon, and the brothers got strict instructions that without Binyamin they should not even come return to Egypt for food because they wouldn't get it. Alright? The Prime Minister, the Viceroy, let us say in Parliament or in any other place, makes an official accusation that it's 10 people, he told the people, the Avdi Pari, whoever the Avdi Pari, whether they are members of the Congress or the servants of the King, it's not important. But it was a public announcement. Yosef did not say it so just secretly. It was a public announcement that the Prime Minister, the Viceroy, below the Lior Mishes, not the Vitraroy, has accused, when most probably, he mentioned the state for whose word, the enemy, who is behind this plan. The plan is simply to destroy the Mitzrayim. All right, it's a very clear indictment. The bill of particulars, there's nothing to worry about. So if they'll come back without Binyamin, so then they'll be executed. Suddenly, a time passed, and they came back, and instead of asking them a simple question, is Binyamin here or not? If Binyamin is here, he's coming. But if Binyamin hasn't come, so I don't want to talk to you. But what did he do? He organized a reception for them. As if he and they were friends, for years. Not only organized a reception, he gave them a reception, there was a feast, but more than that, he gave them exchange of gifts. Exchange of not only of gifts but of exchange not only of gifts, but of statements of devotion and love. And when the Binyamin was introduced, Yeshe said, "Rekim Yochnachovni, may God bestow His love and sympathy and compassion upon thee, my son." If he used my son in order in his when he addressed himself to Binyamin, it's too intimate. If it's not so intimate, it's crazy. It's plain, absurd. To say a person who a few weeks ago I accused of espionage work, of being the head on the chief, all ten of them, of being despised for an enemy country, they accused him officially and was ready to execute all of them. And now it's not only he rendered a decision, he tendered a reception to them. More than that, he drank with them and got drunk with them. And this was done by the minister, by the very prime minister of Egypt. It was done by the prime minister of Egypt, who said that those people are not friends of the land of Eretz Mitzrayim, but enemies. This is plain, simple, an act of suicide. Yeshe couldn't have chosen a better way of committing suicide than this way. What would the Pharaoh say? What would Pharaoh say? What would we say if the President of the United States should act like this? The President of the United States should go up to the Congress just making a declaration. What will the states in Congress, before the full Congress, the whole Assembly, 350 or 400 or 500 deputies, representatives of the land, should say that they have evidence? Now President can do it. He has evidence that actually there is a conspiracy to spot there was a conspiracy to kill him. You can find it in the papers today. To kill him and conquer, invade the land and introduce in the land like a communist regime or any kind of regime. Meraglimat, 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 so the Congress applauded because the Prime Minister has protected the country from being destroyed. They said, everybody was proud that they have such a clever and intelligent Prime Minister or Viceroy. And suddenly, a few weeks later, the news is, you know what happened? The Prime Minister received the people who are indicted for espionage, doing espionage work for an enemy country, received them in the government house, eating, yichlu anoshim ele batsoroi. Not only received them, he gave them gifts and kissed them they exchanged toasts, exchanged gifts. So, it means that Yeshe, if such a thing would have happened nowadays, with the Prime Minister would have been removed from office immediately, investigation started against him, would have been destroyed. Again, iti yechlu anoshim batzoroyim,
he's again the answer. Why do you do it? Why do you do it? Because the 80 Yechlu are nothing but Tzoroim. I simply don't know who they are. That's what it's all the Arlabais and whom we compiled. I don't know who they are. The answer is, I reacting strangely. Apparently, the Rasha Al-Beisi, I mean, pointed out to him, what are you doing? He told him, to eat the Yechlu are nothing but Tzoroim. The people who will eat this afternoon with me are nothing. They're strangers. I don't know. So that's why I act like it. The way I act in a manner which, of course, is absurd, ridiculous, illogical, but I can't help it. I have to act like this. And then there are two words here in Tanakh, I mean Chumash, which I doubt why that there is a story in Shmuel. It is in Shmuel, I believe. The noble Israeli, the episode about noble Israeli and David. What was the name of the Abigail and David? Is the Torah gives a portrays Abigail, the Torah portrays Abigail. Not Abigail, I mean novel Israeli in terms which are very, very sharp terms. Read it. Vayomid Vatovi Abigail Vini Ushika. Give it to me. Yeah, no. Omar Alili Shalem, the Beschel, Rei Shomati Mekelech. Excuse me, I just have. Wait, now that's it. Okay. Rei Shomati Mekelech, Rese Ponaich, Atora Megayel El Novo, Vine Rei Mishte Bevesel, Te Mishte Amelech, Velev Novo Tevolov. It's almost similar to the story which the Torah gives us in Mikkeitz. Vushiker ad meid. Vulehigidra idova kotne vegodel at era beka. And the Torah here also says in a similar manner, vaj yishtu vaj yishkiru. Not only they gave batonis to each other, not only Yeshiv. Yeshiv couldn't control himself. Yeshiv did something which was, I mean, from a logical viewpoint, would have led to his alienation of the mid of Pare. He would have been removed from the position of prime minister. From a logical viewpoint, he did something awful. Something awful. I mean, we don't understand. You know why? Because he had no control over himself. Vayishtu vayishkaru meid. He was shikar. It means actually when Yosef has received the people the second time, he couldn't help himself, because he actually experienced real love. And after all, if you read the story of Mechira Yosef, the story tells us basically more or less that Yosef didn't know how to act. took to receive them as brothers and forget what they did to him. Or on the contrary, to punish them because they deserve it for another crime, not for espionage, for another crime. Yosef was wavering. He didn't know exactly. Is it the Israel? And basically when they sent them back to Canaan with a request or a demand for Binyamin, it was also to gain time which he considered necessary, which is of tremendous significance. And actually during this interim, he might perhaps find a solution to the moral problem which his conscience, confronted his conscience. He used to run into the room, into the private room, he used to cry, and wipe his tears and come out again. So you see, he was upset. He didn't know how to act, to punish, not to punish. I mean, is it important that he didn't care for his father? They sold him while knowing that his father will simply not be able to survive this disaster, or not to punish because a Jew should not be vindictive. So a problem of the halacha, a moral problem, a personal problem. He sent them off because he knew they'll come again because they had no food. And he'll solve the problem later because he didn't know what to do. That's why the whole acrobatics which he employed, it was in order of gaining time and understand what to do. But this was the first time. When it's Vayar Yosef, Vayakirim, Vayizikir Ashalemish. When it says Vayizikir Ashalemish, remember, do you believe that Yosef didn't remember? It's not just a small event. But Vayizikir Ashalemish, it means Vayizikir in the sense not Vayizikir remembering, but Vayizikir in the sense of expecting. Zocher Yosef HaShabbos Letatshe means be prepared for the Shabbos. Zocher Yosef HaShabbos Letatshe means expect the Shabbos to come. This is later Ramban. Not remember. Remember, there's no need to remember Shabbos. No one makes a mistake about Shabbos. Vayizikir HaShalemish is simply expected that Yosef's Vayizikir HaShalemish is remembered or he expected during the period of many years, he expected that such a confrontation will take place. The question is how to act as far as this confrontation is concerned. And the second time, will you be so kind to read in Chumash the second time, Vayika Sharon Yosef. Before that. Vaya Yosef. It means that the second time when they came in, Yosef suddenly was overcome by Yosef couldn't help himself. He had to treat them as brothers. Vayishtu, vayishkeru means they drank and they were intoxicated, confused. Vayishkeru in the sense of being confused. Yosef was vayishtu, vayishkeru. Yosef was confused. Somehow, Yosef felt love for them. The first time it was a problem. Should I treat them as brothers or should I treat them as strangers? Should I be vindictive? Shouldn't I be vindictive? The second time there was no suffering in Yosef's mind. That he should recognize them as brothers. And the matter of fact, and the experience, with the orders which he gave to his manager, were not just make-believe orders. He didn't want to fool anybody. He felt for them a great love the second time. Second time the problem was resolved in his mind. Now my brothers, we are one family, one household, one group one group of people. We are in the world, they are my brothers, regardless of their behavior of so many years ago, they are my brothers. And if they are my brothers, so the whole story of Mechir Zesim was forgotten. In the darkness of the night, and in the simple and the as a matter as the apostle says with regard to Noble, Vini Yushika, in complete confusion, he forgot the charges that they are spies. There was no problem anymore. The moral problem from the Ragnamatem disappeared the second time. No, of course, he gave the brothers came, brothers whom he hadn't seen for a long time, so you have to receive them properly. That he himself made accusations against them about being spies and being intelligence agents, those accusations completely disappeared. He looked upon them as brothers. He treated them as brothers, and somehow a stream of love and joy and great love, compassion, love, replaced Yosef's anger and wrath against them, and the memories which he had a few years ago, how they practiced chicanery against him. And when the post says Vayishtu Vayishkrime, means Yosef actually found the brothers. He found the brothers. He knew all the time who the brothers were. But he found love in his heart for the brothers. Vayishtu Vayishkrime. Is it logical? Of course not logical. But there's almost a change of personality, of memory, Yosef. Yosef forgot the Mechira. The first time they came, he said, Vayizekiras Chalemesh. Vayakiresom Vayizekiras Chalemesh. And the way Rashi interprets it, what did he remember? And I told you, Vayizekiras means to expect sometimes, is to remember. What was there to remember? Whatever he remembered was bad. His day, the years of his sojourning in Yankee's house. Why was he so emotionally so upset? This was the first time was Vayizekiras Chalemesh. Vayizekiras Chalemesh is actually, we interpret it in terms of, in negative terms. Namely, Vayizekiras Chalemesh because, since Vayizekiras Chalemesh, the horrible Chalemesh and actually the way that they treated him, they insulted and hurt his feelings, and wanted to kill him, they sold him as a slave. All those events came back to Yosef by Yizekir as a Chalemi. And this is what happened the first time. So what did he say? No, the remembrance itself was negative. For a simple reason, because there was nothing in the biography of Yosef. Yosef's remembering what happened in Yaakov, in Jacob's house, there was not a single one remembrance which could be classified. Oh, this was very pleasant for Yosef. They treated Yosef well. They didn't treat him well at all. So the apostle says, Vayizekiras Chalemesh, means Vayizekiras Chalemesh,
and he wanted to simply to do with them what they did to him. This was Yitzhak. This was the first arrival. By Yitzhak, the second arrival, Yitzhak was a changed person. What happened, I mean, what actually was the main factor to change his mind? To change his mind, I don't know, but he was a changed person. Then the second, when the brothers came the second time, so there is no Yitzhak here as a Halemes. And simply the Halemes, because he forgot the Halemes. He didn't remember, and if he did remember, if he had remembered, so in the, at the bottom of his, in a debate, if he did remember, he resolved them completely, the problems. It was the old age of the brother, before Mechira says it. So he exchanged matones, and he exchanged what not, matones and declaration of love. And it was not afraid to display his affection for Binyamin, and Kim Yochnachovni. And the Torah said, you know what happened? Vayish to Vayishkeru Meir. Yes, it was Shikya, it means illogical. Yes, it was illogical, not understanding the danger which was involved in his friendly, cordial treatment of the brothers, and the brothers, after all, the brothers should also have understood. The brothers should have understood that who else could give an Egyptian prime minister that gives a reception for the Shvur, for the Shachar Yitzchak, and he announces their names in accordance to age, and he gives a reception and presents them with his gift, presents, and the Kim Yochnachovni, they should have understood the brother. Well, were them? We don't have to talk. Zvul was a merchant, was not a fool, Zvul. Yisocha was a scholar, not a fool either. Shimon Velevi were not fools, Shimon Velevi. So where was the Balabati Shasechu? Where was it? Comes to somebody, Adeni Oret, an Egyptian, they needed an interpreter in order to, they need an interpreter in order to communicate with them. And suddenly such love, I mean, they all love so much, no one, the love of, for brothers and exchange matones and exchange gifts and tones. The brothers apparently, Ech Vayishtu Vayishkore. Vayishko, the intellect did not work for one night. They didn't know that it is. Was it so difficult to put two and two together? Like Zvu, Shimon, were intelligent people, can shvot him. But when they actually, this was the whole night. This is the night which, why is it? Now, why the night means here, the same as a novel Israeli. A time which actually, I mean, the reason and intellect somehow disappear. And they still didn't know who Yeshua was. After all, I mean, they could have found his identity if they had a reason. If they had thought reasonably, but they didn't. Yeshua did not. This change in Yeshua from Adeni Oretz into brotherliness. Adeni Oretz means the tyrant of the land. It's Adeni Oretz. And he told Yaakov, he said, what do you want? What can you do from that? You expect sympathy on the part of Adeni Oretz. You couldn't expect this stranger. That's what he told Yaakov. The second time when they came,
and they spent it for one night. Yaakov, Yosef declared, knew very well that he will not punish them, and he wanted, he decided in favor of not of mercy and pardon, not that, but in favor of acknowledge reconciliation with them as brothers, reconciliation. And the brothers were confused, they didn't know what's all about. The simplest manner, the simplest way, to identify Yosef was as easy as the identification of the person who I just yesterday saw, whom I met. I met here last night. So simple. But the answer is what the story you just read is correct. And Yosef, the clever, the intelligent, the cautious, and who actually saved the empire of Egypt and adjacent countries from starvation and famine. This Yosef acted like a fool, not a fool, like a drunk. He acted like a drunk because the second time he was overcome he actually decided to somehow not to be vindictive, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually made it possible for him to forget all the experiences he lived through, but one. Remember, what is the one experience? This is brothers. How can a brother sell his brother to Ishmaeli? Yosef was not bothered by that anymore, because Vayishku. They drank, they lost their minds. But hadn't they lost their minds, Yosef would have never offered a reception, such a gallery with reception to his brothers, and the brothers would have recognized him right away. But when the mind is beclouded, when one is drunk, this means Shikir in Hebrew, in Tanakh, is not only, actually, Shikuras Vlaymi Yoin, we have expression. It's not just when you drink alcohol. Shikir means when a man lacks the power of thinking, of deducting, of arriving at conclusions, of identifying people and so forth. It was a night of reconciliation between a brother and brother, which was about to end. When? Bashmiras Abeker. Abeker here, but this did not last long. Abeker here. All this, the experience, the fantastic experience of Yosef, with regard to the brothers, he felt that he has got to receive them nicely because they are his brothers. There were no logical arguments were completely unacceptable, and Yosef didn't look for anything to somehow change it. The night was a night of secrets, of confusion. Yosef recognized them as brothers, and they felt that somehow they were still, their minds were enveloped in a cloud, and they didn't know what it's all about. They didn't know what it's all about. And this regaining of consciousness, memory, it was started with the with the rising of the dawn, and with the rising of the dawn, Yosef's experience changed. It was again the real experience. It was the old experience of and the urge of vindictiveness. With the rising of the dawn, the story changed. What was it, the rising of the dawn? He said, "Va beker eir ve'anoshim shulchu." It was beker eir v'achiyesef shulchu. The business of Achiyesef was not again a business with anoshim. V'achiyesef shulchu. And that in the Chumash, he says several times, keeps on repeating, "Achi, Achim, Achim, Achiyesef." He is not Achim. V'anoshim shulchu. The strange people, I mean, that the whole drama is a strange drama. And something else, the word shulchu, what does it mean, shulchu? If the Torah said mishlechu, it means with an assignment. When I send somebody to the house an assignment, you say mishlechu. Shulchu means, what does shulchu mean? Huh? Yeah, but what is shulchu? Shulchu means simply removed, expelled. Bashmeres HaBeker, when the dawn began to rise, they were not brothers anymore. They were anoshim, strange anoshim. We have absolutely no right to live in the presidential, the prime minister's palace. And the anoshim were thrown out, the Bach Yosef, thrown out by Yosef's security guard. And simply forbade them to enter the ground. V'anoshim shulchu, a complete act of alienation between Yosef and the brothers. Complete denunciation of the brothers by Yosef. What are you doing here on the ground? Out! There was no Reuven, no Shimon, no Levi, no Yehuda, no Yisachar, no, there were no kisses and presentation of gifts, and tefillahs l'tim yochnecho bni, there was no outpour of love as far as Benjamin is concerned. Again, the old Egyptian, the cruel face of the Adenu, again Adenu or as a tyrant, who can execute hundreds of people. It's a different scenery, the scenery at night, and the scenery in the And finally in the morning, at dawn, that Alisa Shachar, two different experiences. What was the scenery at night? Was love and understanding and brotherliness. Everybody felt brotherliness for each other. In the morning, the same Raglimatim Gurus, and here he had another excuse to bring them back because of the goblet, they sold the goblet. A baker here, we are not in shulchu. Now, there is something else. Yosef, Yehuda, when Yehuda came over to Yosef, he said, "Yedaba no avdocho dobo bozna adeni, bo yicha rabcho ve'avdecho, ve'avdocho, kiv micho micho kifare." And basically, what did he tell him? Nothing. As the Rambam says, he told him all the stories which Yosef knew from his own experience. The Rambam says. So what did he tell him? And he's afraid to speak because he should not be punished later for insulting the king, because insulting, apparently, according to Egyptian laws, to insult the vice minister, the prime minister, is like insulting the king, there was severe punishment for this less my majesty. This is... What did you tell him? Did you insult him? Didn't insult him? Didn't say a word. Not a single word he said. He told him he rehashed the stories. There wasn't... What he was afraid, you told him, "Listen, but don't be angry. ist leise in dem Wort Vayigash. Im Wort Vayigash, in Hebrew, Agosev, Nigash Akein, wie Dibra Lohom, means not only shifting, moving from one place to another, coming nearer. This is Vayigash. To coming near. And this is not only an expression for as far as movements from locus to locus is concerned, it's also an expression which characterizes sometimes the coming nearer of two people, not in terms of movement motion, but in terms of experiencing friendship. Sometimes you approach a person. But you still feel, distant from him. In terms of, but in certain times you approach a person by coming nearer. At least reducing not the distance, the physical distance, but the distance between individual and the individual, between two people, between two strangers. Vayagish Elav Yehuda, the only one who noticed that, who knew, apparently he knew that this is Yosef, didn't say a word, Yehuda didn't say a word. He was Yehuda. Vayigash Elav Yehuda and told him, never mind the stories, but I'll tell you something which you wouldn't like. I mean, you are looking for Joseph, he's right here. Yosef, Yehuda understood it. The Shvatim, the rest didn't understand the word. Yehuda understood it. Vayigash Elav Yehuda Vayemer Viadeni. Why should Yosef be angry at him? Because I'm going to say something which you wouldn't like. You don't punish me for what I'm going to say. What was he going to say, Yehuda? They said, you are Joseph. And that's what Yehuda, Yosef, did not want that Yehuda should discover his identity. Yosef wanted, if there is a question of discovering the identity, revealing the identity to the brothers, so let Yosef do it. That's what Yosef thought. I'll do it, but not Yehuda. When Yehuda came over and says, "Yidaber Avdecha Dova Boznei Adeni Kimichomecho Kefarei," Yosef understood that the brothers, Yehuda knows it. And in order to prevent Yehuda from revealing the identity of Yosef, to be the first one to reveal the identity of Yosef, so Yosef had no choice but to reveal himself. And actually, if you read the parsha carefully, you'll find that for Yehuda, when Yehuda is about, there is no division of parshas. From the Nafshik, Shura ben Nafshik, the Yochel Yosef, the Sapak, there was no, is there a division of Parshas? No division of Parshas. The Torah tells us that Yehuda's oration, the Yochel Yosef, the Sapak, has one Parsha. It's correct? Huh? What does it mean? There was a race between Yehuda and Yosef. And Yosef did not want Yehuda to find out, to be the one who revealed, to be the one who was who would have revealed, I mean, the parshas, revealed his identity. He wanted him that if his identity is going to be revealed, so then it should be done. It should be done by Yosef, not by Yehuda. And the more Yehuda kept on coming, repeating the story And Yitzchak felt that Yehuda hasn't pulled it with yet. He has something in his such a bosom pocket, something which will be sensational. You imagine what the prime minister, somebody, a prisoner, a Hebrew prisoner, has recognized the prime minister as the prime minister as a Hebrew boy who was kidnapped. So Yosef did not want Yehuda to actually to reveal. So that was this when Yochel Yosef lay suffering. He couldn't suffer it anymore, he couldn't tolerate it anymore. For what reason? Because he didn't want Yehuda to say it. So he interrupted Yehuda. Then Yosef felt that Yehuda is coming closer and closer. Yehuda has something in his pocket. He interrupted Yehuda because Yehuda's statement in that Tere is incomplete. So say in Parsha, what was the last person before Yosef? What did Yehuda say?
Hence?
What did you say? Hence? So what? Hence? Yosef understood that Yehuda didn't say at this point Yehuda may reveal a truth which Yehuda knows and no one else. He couldn't tolerate the idea that Yehuda will reveal his identity. For if his identity is going to be revealed, so he himself should do it. Vayikra Yosef v'chol ha'nimtzoyim. Masir ha'ish me'olam. So Yosef, there was a race between Yosef and Yehuda. And he interrupted Yehuda, and Yosef was the one who announced it. That's why there is no hefsek of a parsha between which should actually divide. I mean, first of all, when the Yochel Yosef and the Sapik should have been the beginning of a parsha. There isn't. There are two psukim which follow each other. Because Yehuda and Yosef interrupted Yehuda in order to make this announcement. And this is exactly what Mechira says, more or less, is. Basically, it was the shakla vitaria between Yehuda and Yosef. The Medrash says, "Omru Ashvotim, Melech u Melech misfakhim ze baze. Onu ma etzren, onu ma nase." It means it was the last few moments there was conflict between Yosef and Yehuda, not between the Shvotim and Yosef. Yosef and Yehuda, the question is the role which Yosef will play in Jewish history and Yehuda's role. There was competition between Yosef and Yehuda. There was competition. And who should take over the Tchere many things were given to Yosef and then the Shvatim came, and Yosef has actually, as far as this conflict is concerned, who won, Yehuda or Yosef? Who won? Yehuda won. It means, why Yehuda won? How do you know that Yehuda won? Because Malchus, Melech HaMashiach, is Yehuda, not Yosef. On the other hand, what do you say? Yeah, with regard to other privileges, Yosef was the winner. But Malchus, Yosef didn't. Yosef wanted Malchus, and that's why he was racing to catch up with Yehuda, in order that the Malchus should belong to him, to Yosef. Because whoever discovered the identity was entitled to the privilege to become the Melech Yisrael. And that's why Yosef was very exceptionally sensitive, apprehensive about the possibility that Yehuda will discover him. Yeah. But nevertheless, for other reasons, Yosef did not win the Malchus, but the one who won, as far as Malchus is concerned, is Yehuda. And that's exactly Mechiras Yosef, Erish or Melech HaMashiach. When Yosef was sold, it was the problem already was who is the Mashiach. The identity of Mashiach, is he a descendant of Yosef or a descendant of Yehuda? And already on the first day of Mechiras Yosef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was busy, Kaviyochu concerned with the image of the Melech HaMashiach. Should it have the image of Yosef, the Melech HaMashiach, or of Yehuda? And interesting is that actually the one who won from this conflict between Yehuda and Yosef was Yehuda, not Yosef. This also could be Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach was selected on the day of Mechiras Yosef. All right. So you have questions? I can't answer you all the questions, but some decent questions if you want to ask. Yeah?
Maybe what is the difference between the image of Melech Mashiach
and Yehuda versus the image of Melech Mashiach? I'll tell you. Yehuda had a characteristic trait. And Yosef had a characteristic trait. What was Yosef's characteristic trait? What was it? Of course, you have to introduce here the parsha of Yosef in next Shabbos Seder. What is the feature which Yaakov actually described as the characteristic feature which Yaakov described? With his great enthusiasm and love. Well, what was it?
Sure.
What did it say?
Sure.
Yeah, sure, there is an ox, yeah. No. Beauty. Beauty. What is the bracha for Yosef? Huh?
Gvure.
Majesty. Majesty. Gvure. Authority.
Is
Yotro Bere Levecho. Yake. Yehuda. Everybody is to listen to Yehuda. Ruben said that Nashkochei Bechad Abels, so did they ignore his remarks and killed him and sold Jesus. When Yehuda said, my best of them said, they listen to Yehuda.
Yehuda was the commanding voice of a nation.
Majesty, Gvure, might. His personality had a commended personality. However, but he was courageous. Yehuda was courageous. Yehuda is the representative of what? He represents a certain idea. Not the idea of majesty, of Gvure, of courage. Of Hodor, correct. But he had a certain there was a certain quality to his character as far as Yehuda is concerned. Yehuda, the way Chazal described Yehuda and portrayed him, is Yehuda had the keyach, the strength, the authority, not only to rule others, but to admit that he's wrong and his adversary is right. Yehuda had it. And this most probably was the reason why Yehuda, despite Yehuda's mistake at the very beginning, that he advised that the brothers sell Yosef, in spite of that, Yehuda came out of Mechiras Yosef, came out somehow clean. Why? Because Yehuda had the strength of character to say Tzotkom Imeni, when Tzotkom Imeni was not very popular. The Gemara says about David, the Gemara says, Neuma Gever, who come whole, Neuma Gever, who come whole. Who is the person who is above everything, who is more important than anybody else? The Gemara, who come whole, David, Sheheki Mule, Shel Shabalichu. David is Yehuda, Yehuda and David, the Melech HaMashiach. The greatness of Yehuda lied in not sinning. The Medrash Dazeya says, and the Medrash like that, Dazeya says that basically David made Choto Basheva, and but David was the Baal Tshuva, the great Baal Tshuva, who said to Nosan Hanovi, Chotofi, the great Baal Tshuva. This was the Keah David, Keah Yehuda. Yosef's Keah lied in something else, in not sinning. In not sinning, in not committing a sin. Yeah, because the story from Betifera. David's story from Basheva, his greatness was not, David's greatness did not express itself through abstaining from sin. No, but his greatness consisted in having the courage of admitting whenever he was wrong. Many times the David said it's wrong. I'm responsible. Now the question is, Yosef and Yehuda. What should the Melech HaMashiach, what should the emphasis on the Melech HaMashiach be? Courage? Von Gurah Yehuda. Gurah Yehuda. What's the person Gurah Yehuda? Say it again. Yes, what Mendel Lekoska used to say, Gerar Ye Yehudo. Why is he a lion? Say the Pasuk again. When Yehuda falls, when David or Yehuda falls, he falls like a lion. Because all of this in tshuva is a question of lack of courage. I'll do tshuva. What kind of tshuva? I mean, who told you to sin? Even when Yehuda fell, in times of crisis and chet, the mistakes, miskari, there was no need to encourage him. He had the courage coming from within. While Yosef is what the Rambam calls in Shmei Aprokim, a chosid mitive, an ethical personality who did not have to defy sin. He rejected sin and then he never yielded to temptation. Yehuda yielded to temptation. That's why the story of Tomor is told. Why was it the story of Tomor told? Because Tomor was the mother later, but she is the mother of the Melech HaMashiach. Is Yehuda? Yehuda made a mistake. The whole story is a mistake, a part of it. But he washed off all chet by two words, Tzotkom Imeni. this was Yehuda. Yosef, Echucha, when Mrs. Petifera told him, suggested to him, in the least act, he said, what, Echo, so Yosef answered, what did Yosef answer? In Vayishev. Echo, Eses, Roa, Gdelo. Echo, Eses, Roa, Gdelo. Vachotos Lekim. No. There was nothing to have Yosef abstain from. Yosef did not know what Tshuva is. There was no need for him for Tshuva. Yosef didn't know what is Tshuva. What is Tshuva when you commit a sin? How is it possible to commit a sin? He said, Echocho ere boro, but what is it? Meruchau. Echo, he couldn't understand how one commits a chet. He couldn't understand it. David understood it. But he couldn't understand it. He had no strength. And he didn't know how to commit a sin. How to violate the moral law. How to violate the will of God. This is what Rambam calls a chosid mitive. Yehuda wasn't like that. Vayirad Yehuda malecho. Dr. Asher Sheridu, Yehuda could lower himself. Yehuda was not, Yehuda many times committed a chet. Or the story of Avtomo, this itself. The story of Basheva. And so forth. So Yehuda never said, Echocho uchal, Yehuda or David. Echocho uchal, asay shoro azay. He couldn't say it. But Yehuda has something else. The strength and the heroic determination to renounce chet after he committed it. And to rise when the lion falls, he rises because later the lion rises as a lion, with courage. This is Gurari Yehuda, Beter of Neil Lisa. Rova, Kora, who was necessary to help him? There was not, no one should have helped him. There was no need for, who should help him if he hadn't been the lion himself? This is basically, it is the clash between two ideas. Majesty, Efi, and the idea of majesty, this means Tshuva, and the idea of Chassidus, which does not require Tshuva at all, because the Achosid Mitive never sins. What should the Melech HaMashiach, where should the Dodo Shchozok and Melech HaMashiach? What do you say? Where should you place the dogesh, the emphasis upon the idea of Melech HaMashiach? That is apparently the Kodesh Baruch Hu decided that the emphasis should be placed upon Tshuva. Better Tshuva, Mokim Tzadikim Gmurim, and then something else. A Melech, who is actually a Melech, who is the Sheikh at home. He is the judge and the ruler of the people, should understand Chesed and Rachmim, and Achiti, sometimes when Achiti appears before him, what is that? Achiti appears before him, he should have sympathy with the Achiti and help him to Tshuva, not condemn him. Yesu was too much of a Chosid Mitzvi, a Chosid Mitzvi. Yesu was a Chosid Mitzvi. A Chosid Mitzvi doesn't understand, and sometimes he has no sympathy with the Chete, because he doesn't know what Chet is. A Melech b'Yisrael, who deals with hundreds of people and has to help them and to pardon them, must know that sometimes a Chete may do Tshuva and actually and and help people and make them get up from their fall like Ari. And that's why Moshiach ben Yosef lost, Moshiach ben David won. What have you done? This is more or less how I interpret Moshiach says. And the most important here is the Abekereya Vanoshim Shulchu in contrast with Vayishto Vayishkoim, the change of the personality in Yosef and in others, and the brothers. All right. Necessary. But otherwise, Mechiras Yosef, I mean, the alienation of the brothers would have taken more time. And if the alienation of the brother, I don't know what would have happened, but in Beis Yaakov, the Knesset Yisrael would have perhaps lost the chance, for being the Amma Nifcho. What would have happened if Yosef hadn't admitted to the brother that he is their brother? It's very hard to imagine. But apparently, it was the last time that it was the last warning that was given to Yosef and the brothers. Either you reconcile now, or the covenant with Abraham, your grandfather, and with your father, will be annulled and forgotten. The Ashgoche actually was determined to bring about the reconciliation between Yosef and the brothers not later than that morning after Yosef and the brothers spent the night in Shifres and complete irrationality. It's very hard to know why the Ashgoche did it, but this is the drama which the Torah tells us about. Yosef was taken he was actually overcome by a desire to be vindictive and to pay them back in kind. And Yosef could have done it, and by a desire of exercising and giving love of a brother. He didn't know what to do. That's why he kept on telling you should bring Binyamin and arguing with them whether they are spies or not. He simply to gain time, he didn't know. The first time when he met them, he actually was hostile to them. You see, the whole conversation is hostile. He spoke like an Egyptian tyrant, actually. Because why is it you remember? And remembering the Chalemis in the part of Yosef is very bad. Because if you remember, what kind of feeling can the Chalemis arise? I mean, raise. What kind of feeling? There's one feeling, vindictiveness in the coming. Otherwise, what did he remember? He couldn't remember anything good in Beis Yaakov. But whatever any memory he had of Beis Yaakov was what of humiliation, of envy. And finally, of murder, of selling him as a slave. This was the first reaction. Then the Ashgoche wanted another experience on the part of Yosef. The second time. Vayimer al Beise, ki iti, ki eisi, yechu, anoshim, batzoroi means, I love my brothers. I love them. They are my brothers, no matter what they have. Of the experiences I had with them. They are my brothers, not spies of Egypt. And he told Lasher Albezi to set a table, and he spent one night in brotherly love with the Shvatim who came to Mitzrayim the second time. And basically, and in general, what he did. And he could have actually lost his life because he had Pare actually Pare known about it, about the feast and the gift and the relationship. Who knows what how Pare had, would have responded to such a performance at the part of Shishi. Most probably would have been removed from office and executed as a spy, no doubt about it. Whoever knows the Egyptian justice, is certainly in criminal code, I mean, could rest assured that they would have done the Egyptian, the Egyptian, what his name in Persia, what his name for in Romania, the man did to his friends. And he took the chance, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him, what chance did he take? He somehow, suddenly, he was debating in his mind, suddenly he felt a great love. He loves his brother. A great love. Who implanted the love in him? Who? What difference? It's a great love. He couldn't control himself. One is drunk, you can't do much. Great love. No, I cannot desert my brothers. They remain brothers. Pare will never be my brother. But they are going to be my brothers. We'll suffer together. We'll have a common history. How can I betray all that for an Egyptian office, a prime minister? And that's where there was an outpour of love, an outpour of devotion, and of they exchanged gifts. There was a great... Yosef actually did not have the experience of brotherliness for a long time. He was 17 when he was sold. He lost his brothers, not only 17 when he was sold, even in Beis Yaakov. He didn't enjoy brotherly love because they didn't like him. They were envious of him. They didn't like him. They wanted, as a matter of fact, they were ready to kill him. And later, what did he enjoy? What did he have the experience, the joy of brotherliness, the experience of joy of having a mother, the experience of joy of having a father? He had nobody. He studied for a while in Yaakov, but he had nothing. It was completely an experience which was completely stripped of the joy of experiencing life together with my family. I remember a few years ago, it was in Kippur, and it was announced in Shul that those that are ready, those who have parents, should step out of the Beis Medrash. I don't know why, but anyway, this is a minute. Yes. So the availability, those who have parents, began to leave the shul. So somebody, playing balabas, said quite, his voice was audible, lucky sticks. What does it mean? Ein balanes makabunisi. People who are capable of having experiencing the wonderful love for a father and a mother are the luckiest in the world. Yosef didn't have it. Yosef didn't have it. Neither mother nor father, you know that very well. No, and here's the question, what should Yosef do? The first time he suppressed all his love, which apparently became was awakened with the appearance of the answer of his brothers, he said no. But Yisrael Chalemis, such people without any sense of sympathy for father, particularly the father, this one kept on asking them, Aedovichoy, you get tired of the question, Aedovichoy. Why did he care? Why did he knew very well? They told him the first time, Ischoy, why should Jacob say, Yaakov die suddenly? And he kept on, Ani Achichem Yosef, they haven't gone back to the Eretz Canaan. How could they actually, know whether Avichem Azok and Chai, or any Chai, we don't know, you know as much as you. They told him well, the day before, Ischoy, Yankov is healthy and strong, they told him. Then when he made the confession, again Aid of Echoy. Yesterday you asked, so he gave you the answer, what's Aid of Echoy? The answer is Yosef, Yosef said, I don't care about my destiny, which was affected by the Mechiras Yosef. But how could you do it to father? And it's a very plain complaint that the Rabbanim, you hear such a thing. What did you do to father? This was an experience which actually could awaken in the heart of Yosef a feeling of cruelty and a desire for vindictiveness and for malicious treating of the brothers. He could have paid them back careful above Hamisha when they came to Egypt. The first time, Vayizekir as a Chalemek, he remembered the Chalemek. There was nothing good to be remembered. In the episodes of the period of the Chalemek, so many years ago, what could he remember? Cruelty. The attempt of the brothers to stifle him and his ability, envy. If this is the Sechir HaShechalemes, so what could they have done? They should have arrested immediately and sentenced later to them. I mean, for so many crimes, he didn't do that. This was the Ashgore. The experience of one death of Nekome. But the Ashgore didn't let him execute this experience or this desire on his part, the desire of destruction. And the Yitzchak Chalem said, the best he could do is to arrest them as spies. Why was it necessary? During the time, after all, they'll go back home. Yitzchak himself was confused what to do with himself. During the time, they'll go home, they'll come back, and they'll negotiate with Adenioret. His experience, as far as his relationship to them is concerned, changed. Who changed? That's why the Ashgoche aroused in him the memory of the Chalemes. In order to, at the beginning, it was a very bad, negative, destructive memory, but finally, he still didn't know. He was to do this and that. This was the first experience, it was a negative experience. Then came the second arrival. In the second arrival, Yeyesim was not asked by the Ashgoche. Yeyesim was not actually told so, but suddenly Yeyesim saw the brothers the second time when they came to his home. He could not contain himself, and he felt great love for them. And how could he express the love for them? By receiving them like a brother and bestowing gifts like a brother and so forth and so on. So the second experience was that of brotherliness. But this was just an experience of one night. During the one night, Yosef re-experienced all the love that he lacked, that has been lacking since he was an infant at the time of Rachel's death. All the love that he didn't have any love, he was a lonely person, you see. With whom could he associate? With the Egyptian pagans. He was a lonely man. So all the strength of his emotion, of his emotions, I mean, the second when they arrived, when he saw them for the second time, when they arrived the second time, was so overwhelming that he acted like a drunk without any logic. He was confused. He didn't know. He finally did something which would have put him in jail and would have demoted him from his office. Then he would have been denounced as Pharaoh, as an enemy, as a spy. All that was swept aside. The experience of brotherliness and the desire to love for father took over, and he stopped playing the game of Meraglim Atem, because he was a sincere brother. What I want to say, that when Yosef, I want you to understand, when Yosef told the Rasha al-Beisef to prepare the reception, Yeshua was sincere, was not lying. It was not a reception, just a make-believe reception, that Yeshua did it in order to achieve some, I don't know what Yeshua wanted to achieve if it hadn't been sincere. It was sincere, Yeshua felt like a brother, he forgot the Halemis. There was no way to be anymore. He forgot the Halemis. What Halemis? What Halemis? They didn't do me anything. What do you mean they didn't do him anything? After all, they sold him as a slave. No, Yeshua already had the answer. You sold me as a slave because I saved Mitzrayim. If not for Yom Mechire, Mitzrayim in the Middle East would have been completely destroyed by the famine, by starvation. So Yeshua already has reconciled himself with them for one night.
Why didn't he reveal himself?
Huh?
Why didn't he reveal himself then?
Why didn't he reveal himself? Because they had to suffer a little more. One more night and a couple of hours in the day. Okay, actually, I'm not the Jew joking. And then, what Abay Kerel, his experience changed. V'anoshim shulchu. And again, Yosef was ready to do something. Yosef had the same dilemma. Just for one night. But here's with the Yochel Yitzchak, and this happened. Huh? All right, what can I do?